fans, in this Saturday, we always love to bring you the real story of baseball. We're going to go back east to Washington, D.C., and bring in Mark Zuckerman from Masson, M-A-S-N, the wonderful network that covers the Washington, the world champion Washington Nationals. So, Mark Zuckerman, great to have you with us. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Marty. It's not been a typical year after winning a title, I can say that. But people around here are still trying to appreciate that fact. And maybe once they start playing here soon and they see, you know, the team wearing special jerseys with championship patches on them and things like that, it'll start to hit home a little more.
What is life like in Washington, D.C., in that area? You know, you're around there, obviously, covering the Nationals and where you live and everything else. But what is life like vis-a-vis baseball and just life in general over these last few months?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a little different, just like it is everywhere else. I think, you know, from the baseball standpoint, the disappointing thing, and not that there's anything anybody could have done about it, but I think a lot of fans of this team and even the team itself feels like it's been shortchanged. It hasn't had the opportunity to have that victory lap that every team that wins a title gets to have. I mean, you'd think about if this pandemic happened in March of 2011, after the Giants won their first title mm-hmm. in such a long time, and they didn't get to have the opening day with the banner raising and the traditional ring ceremony and just everything that comes with that. You know, it would be disappointing for a lot of people. I think that's been the case here. And even though people are obviously excited at the prospect of there being baseball now, I think for a lot, it's, you know, a little bittersweet. There are people that might even in some ways wish that they weren't trying to play this year because they would rather have the ability to be there in person the first time that this team takes the field as defending champions, and obviously they're not going to be able to do that. So, you know, I wouldn't say baseball is the number one priority for a lot of people around here for a lot of reasons. It's a big year in D.C., but, you know, I think everyone's just really, really waiting for that day when they are allowed to gather at the ballpark again and truly celebrate this team, whether that happens sometime in 2020 or if not even until 2021.
Mm. Sean Doolittle, very outspoken. We know him out here being a closer for the A's. He was very outspoken about what's going on in baseball with the COVID-19 and the prospect of playing. What do you think about what Sean Doolittle has said, and are there any repercussions from it?
Well, he's a really insightful person, as you guys know. He's not afraid to speak his mind, even though he sometimes has opinions that aren't necessarily, you know, common among baseball players. I think he has a different perspective on it than a lot of people do. But he's very well respected in the clubhouse and among the fans, very popular. And I think his point is this. I mean, you know, he wants them to play. He always has. He hasn't shied away from that. He knows there is a significant risk, and his wife has a chronic lung condition, and so that did make him nervous about coming back. And he's even said that, you know, there's a chance that as he sees how this all goes, that he could decide to opt out. But for now, he intends to play, and he desperately wants to play. But he also wants all the focus to be on how to do it safely. And I think what was so frustrating for him, like it was for so many of us, as we sat there watching the owners and the players bicker over the financial aspect of all this, was that the focus could have and should have been more on safety and health of everyone involved and figuring out this incredibly daunting thing that they're trying to pull off here. So far, they've managed to get through the first week or so of camp. There have been some bumps. There have been some issues. They've got, 12 days now until the opener. A lot of things still have to be figured out. We're a long way from knowing that the season is not just going to start but then be able to complete. And so I think Sean feels like so much of those last few months before camp opened maybe could have been spent on hammering out those details and making sure everything was as airtight as possible on that. And instead, too much of the time was spent, you know, fighting over money.
Mark Zuckerman with us. Always great. Look, I've known Mark for years. It's great to have you on the show. When we do miss seeing you out here in San Francisco, there are a few players, I think, still missing from the Nats. Is that correct, from the full workout?
Yeah, there are a grand total of eight who we have not seen in person yet, and from what we've been told, and you know, the teams are not allowed to reveal a whole lot of details about this stuff, so it's a little bit murky. But what we've been told is that two players did test positive for COVID in the initial intake screening. Both are asymptomatic, and then there are others who have been in contact with, whether it's these players or with other people who've tested positive. It's notable that most of the players on that list all came from the Dominican Republic, and all, I believe, were on the same charter flight that came into the U.S. So reading between the lines, it looks like one of those players tested positive, and then the others are required to quarantine until they're given the green light because they've been in close contact with someone who tested positive. But, you know, we're talking about some pretty significant players for this team. Juan Soto, Victor Robles, Howie Kendrick are the three big ones. Howie's from Arizona, and obviously there's a whole lot of issues there about what's going on with the spread of the virus. As of right now, they have not been cleared to join the team at the stadium. They are in D.C. They're isolating. They're doing whatever they can to stay in shape, but we're getting close to the point where even if they are cleared, even if they are healthy, they're running out of time to get themselves ready for the start of the season. And so for Davey Martinez, this is a legitimate baseball issue that he's got to figure out who's going to be in his lineup on opening night against the Yankees. Between those three guys missing, between Ryan Zimmerman choosing to opt out, and Anthony Rendon having been lost in free agency to the Angels, their starting lineup may look nothing like the one we saw in Game 7 of the World Series, and that'd be a pretty striking thing.
Boy, amazing. July 23rd, the opener will be the first game. The Giants and Dodgers are the second part of that doubleheader on ESPN, but it's Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin, the big three for the Nats. And what's your take on, you know, the 60-game season? And, look, you've been around baseball a long time. Where this thing could be heading, and what's your general feeling about it?
Well, let's go under the premise that they are able to play all 60. You know, obviously, we don't know that to be true, but let's assume for these purposes that they're able to do it. I think everyone understands and acknowledges that that's not necessarily going to be a truly representative season, not just because of the number of games, but to me it's because of the fact that everybody is playing different schedules. And, you know, maybe your division winners, you can say, okay, they clearly proved they were the best team of that division because they will have played each other a good number of times. But, you know, think about the wild card race. If you have, let's say, the Nationals and the Brewers and, I don't know, the Diamondbacks or the Padres, something like that, engage in a wild card race and we're comparing their records and they will not have played any common opponents at all. Is that really a fair way to determine this? No, it isn't. And that's fine. You know, I think people will understand that this season we're always going to have to look at it differently. The results are not going to be what, you know, how you would view a full 162-game season. But, you know, to me, I would not be surprised if at least one or two teams get into this thing who maybe aren't actually the best teams, but they took advantage of the schedule. They took advantage of the fact that they were healthy and played well, and they get in. That's fine. Let's embrace this. Let's have some fun with this season and hope, above all else, that they can just play the season so we have baseball to enjoy. But I know, you know, personally, I know I won't be able to look at the results of this season the way that I would any other.
Well, I think most people feel like that. Mark Zuckerman, Masson, and, of course, you can follow him online, masson.com, and does a great report. We've known Mark for many years. Boy, they got the rings. I saw that this week on Instagram or Twitter, wherever Adam Eaton had a big thing on there in the rings. What do you think of the rings?
The unusual circumstances that should have been done on the field opening weekend in front of the fans, and unfortunately they couldn't do that. But you could tell the players are thrilled to get them, finally put them on, and I mean, they're big, they're gaudy, they're telling the whole world that they won the title, but I think they did a nice job. And a lot of just you know, I never thought about how much you can cram into one ring. There's a lot of stuff on there, including on the inside of it. I mean, they managed to get a baby shark in there to honor Gerardo Parra. They managed to get a skyline of, you know, the D.C., the monuments, Capitol Dome, you know, everybody's name, number, really nice-looking Curly W logo in rubies. And, I think they look great. I know the players are excited about it. And, you know, it's unfortunate they couldn't have done that again in the way that they would have. They actually had to do a virtual ceremony during the break where they kind of opened their, you know, received the rings, you know, over a Zoom call, essentially. So it's different. It's definitely different. And, you know, I think maybe they're embracing this and understanding that they're going to remember that their championship and their follow-up to championship was unlike any other team that's ever had one of these before. And maybe that'll help make this one a little more special. It's different for sure. It's not the way that most teams have been able to celebrate.
No, it's a gorgeous ring, and Adam Eaton, his little Instagram, whatever he put out there, was told the whole story of how excited he was. But, well, interesting. Your biggest fan is Dr. Fauci. He wears his Nationals mask all the time, and every time I see it, I think of you guys. So, what can I say? Stay safe, and opening night against the Yankees, and we'll see where that goes. And let's just keep our fingers crossed that the bubble works and we can get through this thing. So, Mark, I appreciate you being on very much.
Absolutely, Marty. Look forward to seeing you again whenever that comes.
Look forward to talking to you, and stay safe, and we'll catch up with you again as this thing unfolds, hopefully safely in a couple of weeks. Thanks, Mark. Have a good night.
Okay, thank you, too.
All right, that is Mark Zuckerman. You can follow him on Masson. Absolutely. Boy, the Nationals, I guess they caught the short end of it just a little bit. But with what's going on in the country, thank God that they're working and you have baseball and they got their rings, and let's see where it all goes. All right, more coming up. KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.